in most rooms I walked into, I walked out of thinking that's time I will never get back. And sometimes it was really frustrating because you read the intro and you read the bio and you looked at the history of this person and was like, I know they've got more to give me. What was going on? I want to make sure that you are not going to become the type of speaker who ignites that kind of response.
Welcome to the Speaker Driven Business Podcast for the entrepreneurs, the subject matter experts, and the difference makers who want to unlock the power of speaking-driven strategies to accelerate impact, influence, and revenue. I'm your host, Jacqueline Nagel, and this is the place for straight talking, easy to implement 20-minute or less business, speaking, and communications insights and lessons, which will help you break through from unheard of to in demand. Let's go.
So welcome to episode 33 of the Speaker Driven Business Podcast. And this is where we are going to slide back into a little bit of education and teaching and things that you can actually walk away with and use, which really is the purpose of this entire podcast series. So this particular episode is all about actually speaking to be remembered, moving you beyond just focusing on how you make people feel. One of the things that was really interesting, I do have a C-suite background and I was exiting one of my CEO roles and I had a 3-month transition period. Now, the stage of my life that I was at that point, I thought, you know what? All bets are off. I'm going to get out into the world. I'm going to explore what I could do next because my children were settled. I was financially okay, not wealthy, but okay. And for the first time in probably a couple of decades, I really felt like I had some choice in the world. So what I did as I was exiting that organization with my 90-day transition was I actually made a decision to go to every event it was possible to find in that 90 days within a 50-kilometer radius of where I lived at the time. Now, what was really interesting about that decision was that I learned a lot, right? But what I discovered, other than that there were some rooms I simply didn't want to ever go back to, what I discovered was the quality of the event did not determine the quality of the speaker. And I found this really fascinating because, in fact, in most rooms I walked into, I walked out of thinking, that's time I will never get back. And sometimes it was really frustrating because you read the intro and you read the bio and you looked at the history of this person and was like, I know they've got more to give me. And it was more, yes, a sense of frustration, but also more a sense of disappointment. Now, what I want to speak into in this episode is what was going on. I want to make sure that you are not going to become the type of speaker who ignites that kind of response, that sort of feeling in people, because that is the last thing we want. If we're investing our time and our energy and our effort to get to the front of the room, we want to make sure that we're actually delivering something that is of value to the audience and that they appreciate having given us our time. And I'm also going to tear apart a little bit the extroverts who tell me that they just wing it and people love hearing them speak. Because to be blunt, it is not about how much they love you, and it's also not just about how you make them feel. What was a startling discovery for me was this, and some of you have heard my origin story when it comes to speaking, but for those of you who are joining us now and you're just getting to meet me, here is the high-level run-through of what happened to me when I first started speaking. So in a nutshell, I refused to speak. I was an introvert. I have a backstory that's kind of interesting. And even though I was running a multi-million dollar family business that I'd taken over, I refused to speak. Now, my mother, who had grown the business, had actually spoken everywhere. She knew the value of building her profile, especially, let's face it, pre-internet. We're talking 20 to 25 years ago. So digital marketing strategies were not your go-to. So she spoke everywhere. I refused to speak. So when I took over, I found a very clever way of training our consultants and our senior staff how to speak and pitch and present, and actually dealing with the inquiries that came in, not by saying, no, I won't do it, by saying, look, my calendar's actually a little bit full. I'll send so-and-so out. Because I was training them and I knew how to speak well, they were actually getting some incredible results. And that strategy worked until one time I actually had to speak. Now, I'm not going to go into the whole detail of it because that would take us another whole episode. But what happened with that was, given no notice to speak, about an hour, I actually spoke into the only thing that I could grab at that time, which was stories of my own experience. When I came off that particular stage that night, it was very obvious that it had landed. The national manager, this was an event of a with 200 odd people at, the national president of the organization, the association that we were speaking for, or I was speaking for that night, actually came straight up to me and said, "We need your script of your speech. We want to put it on the website." And I'm thinking in the back of my head, are you kidding me? Like, I don't even know what I just said. And the other thing that happened as I walked out that night was that I had three invitations to speak at other events. Now, I had no idea about paid speaking at that time. This is about 23 years ago now. And I started saying yes. And the only way to describe what happened for me was I was like the shy, quiet teenager that discovered crack cocaine, and speaking was my crack, right? And so what happened was I would speak anywhere for anyone on any topic. Just give me a topic. Give me a mic, like anywhere, anytime, anything, any place, any audience, and I would speak. And I was in demand, right? There was no doubt that I was in demand. But I started to notice that people were like, "I love hearing you speak. Can't wait to hear you again. I really enjoyed hearing you at this event." And people were really enjoying the way that I made them feel. I was bringing the right energy into the room. But there was one day where a really hard truth landed for me. And it was both shocking and heartbreaking. And that was that even though I was getting asked a lot to speak, and even though people enjoyed the way that I made them feel, they couldn't remember what I'd spoken about. Now, if you think back, I was someone who didn't want to have a voice. I was someone who classified herself as an introvert. And to actually then discover that I was good at speaking, but nobody could remember what I spoke about, it truly was shocking to me and also heartbreaking, because it was kind of like, why am I making this effort? If nobody's actually remembering the what, why am I making this effort? Because I don't even know if it's making a difference beyond feeling warm and fuzzy. And that's when I first realized that just inspiration and just motivation are not always enough. And it resulted in obsession and fascination. I spent the next 2 years, maybe more. I mean, it's been an ongoing process, but in the next 2 to 3 years, I spent more than six figures, and we're talking 25 years ago, going doing all of the training and all the coaching that I possibly could around speaking, communication, negotiation skills, workshop delivery, facilitation skills, anything I could find that was around communication and language and the way that we speak. And I really went deep into it, right? And what I discovered in all of that is that you must know how you want people to feel when you speak. And the full range from motivated, inspired, and empowered, right through to raging and shocked, if that's what you need. But it doesn't matter what it is, so long as you know what feeling you are wanting people to feel and you're capable of eliciting those emotions. And once I had thought until this point that the feeling was everything, what I discovered was you must know what you want your audience to feel, and you must give them something that they can use. Once I understood this and how to do it, and I had exceptional mentors and teachers, this is, you know, my ability now and the way that I work with people now is no accident. I invested heavily in exceptional mentors and teachers more than 20 years ago. Once I understood this, once I understood that not only did I have to make them feel amazing, but I needed to give them something, every single game shifted for me. Speaking accelerated the growth of that very established family business that I was running by multiple eight figures in less than 2 years, more than 20 years ago, right? Speaking accelerated my time to gain market share in a brand new consultancy business in industrial relations that I launched. Speaking enabled me to step in and turn around member satisfaction and financial performance for three member-based organizations. Speaking also enabled me to strengthen my performance for workshop outcomes. And trust me, my feedback, my first workshop in 2002 was atrocious. Like, I can't believe in hindsight that I didn't just pack up my bag and ball and go home. Speaking enabled me to understand how to connect more deeply through the spoken word. But that was all only possible once I understood that I needed to be generous, that I needed to give more than just great feelings. We spoke about it in episode 17 in the Blue Apple Questions. What is the gift you are giving them? If you had a table that you could physically put something down on, what is the tangible thing you would be able to put down that they can take away and do or use to make a difference in their life, even if they never see you again? And that's the key. What can they use even if they never have contact with you again simply because they've heard you speak into it and you shared generously. Giving something, the best of you, the magic you hold, the wisdom that is uniquely you, in a way that people can go out and try on, test and measure, synthesize into their own way of doing it. This level of generosity and tactical, kinesthetic sharing of what you know works and to be true, this is how you embed yourself into the cellular memory of your audience. This is how you lived from so good to you're in my head and here's my check. When they go out and do what you shared and they notice the difference it makes. When what you teach them today, they do tomorrow and share with somebody else the next. But how do we do this without being preachy, teachy, and just downright instructional? Because, and especially from a big stage, that one doesn't often work. Well, we use structure. And in episode 19, we went through the key structures we use with our clients. And in that, we spoke about the keynote and the subject matter expert structures, the most powerful structures and formats there are for big stages and accelerating your business growth. If you remember, and if you haven't listened yet, then please finish this episode and flick back to episode 19 to do so. We spoke about the engine room in both of these structures, the subject matter expert and the main stage keynote. The engine room is actually the majority of your content. Depending on how you shape stories as you open the content, your engine room will be between 55 and 70% of your entire speech. This is where you share the best of you, what you know, what you do, how you do it. This is a section that does the heavy lifting. You've built trust and connection through sharing your story so far. You crystallize what's in it for them with the attention snap, and you now, all things done well, you have their full attention and their trust and their willingness. And they are now ready to be moved to learn and to understand more. We're going to unpack how we build the engine room in the next few episodes, but for now, I want to leave you with this. If you have opened really well and you have crystallized what's in it for them and you don't give the best of you, if you don't teach them something, if you don't share something of value, then your audience will unconsciously, mentally take a step back. They will wonder why they leaned in, connected and trusted. If you don't shift beyond just a good story and great emotions, you will not ever be able to create a truly sustainable speaking career or speaking driven business. It is that simple. So I encourage you to think about this and then join us in these next few episodes as we unpack how to create a powerful engine room that will change your game forever. I hope you've enjoyed this episode of Speaker Driven Business. And if you have, I'd love you to do two things for me. Number one, subscribe to the show so you never miss an episode. And number two, leave a review so other people can find and enjoy the content we share. Online, you can find us on Instagram and connect with me personally on LinkedIn. Just head to anygiventuesday.com.au and you will find all the connection points there. Speaker Driven Business is the show making speaking-driven strategies accessible to everyone, and I am honored you tuned in.